Thank you. How wonderful it is to be here. My name is Lily Ledbetter, and I'm honored to be here with you today. What a wonderful group of people. All of you are so special. Thank you. It's been 7 years since I joined President Barack Obama as he signed a bill named after me, a bill that allows people to challenge every discriminatory paycheck they receive. It was the first bill President Obama signed, and it set the stage for real progress and in our fight for equal pay. Thanks to so many of you and to President Obama, we made it happen. Thanks to late Senator Kennedy and Senator Mikulski, we made it happen. And thanks to former Representative Miller and Representative Rosa DeLauro, we made it happen. Together, the Lilly Ledbetter Fair Pay Act became law. But still, every day, I hear from women across the country who are frustrated and angry about being paid less for the same job. Unequal pay is personal to women. It hurts us, it hurts our families, and it hurts our economy. My equal pay story started when I made the move to Goodyear Tire and Rubber Company in 1979 because I thought it was a job that could provide better financial stability for me and my family. My daughter was in college and my son was headed that way. And we had household expenses that my husband's paycheck didn't cover. I was the only female supervisor, and it took as little time off as possible because I never knew if my job would be waiting for me when I got back. Almost 2 decades into my career at Goodyear, I learned through an anonymous note that I was being paid thousands of dollars less than my male counterparts, men doing the same job as me. All I could think about was how much my family had done without over the years and how I would never catch up to my male co-workers' salaries, nor would I ever have the same level of retirement benefits and Social Security. Nobody wants to be the poster child for unequal pay for equal work, but spurned on by that note, that's exactly what happened to me. My legal battle for fair pay wound its way up to the U.S. Supreme Court. And when they decided in 2007 that Goodyear had been paying me unfairly long enough to make it legal, I knew I wasn't ready to give up fighting for fair pay. I won't lie to you, I was pretty devastated by that decision, but I fought back. Standing next to President Obama when he made the Lilly Ledbetter Fair Pay Act, the first bill he signed into law, was one of the proudest moments of my life. And it was a great day here at the White House, but I knew our work was only beginning. My bill was just a down payment in this fight. In the years since, the companion bill to my law, the Paycheck Fairness Act, has passed the House twice. But we came 2 votes short in the Senate on 2 votes. While paycheck fairness has since stalled in Congress, we're not giving up on it. Our federal laws badly need an update. And in the meantime, President Obama has not rested on his Ledbetter laurels. He created an equal pay task force to make this issue a priority within his administration and has taken executive actions to improve equal pay for people working for federal contractors. Now, support for equal pay has caught fire in state capitals, with legislation being introduced in almost 30 states. Many of them dropped this week in honor of this anniversary. I may have lost my personal battle, but I refuse to lose the war. I will keep fighting for all of the women and girls who deserve equal pay and equal treatment under the law, and I know we'll always have a powerful ally in President Obama. Nothing brings me greater joy than to be here today among friends to mark the anniversary of my namesake bill. All of us have to keep fighting for equal pay, for equal work. That's not even a question. But it's important that we take times like this to celebrate our progress and strengthen both our resolve and our momentum. We owe it to our daughters, our granddaughters, and to ourselves. We owe it to our nation. Now, please join me in giving a warm welcome to one of our greatest champions and my friend, the President of the United States, Barack Obama.
Thank you. Thank you, everybody. Thank you so much. Thank you. Thank you. Everybody have a seat. Thank you so much. I heard you all were in the house. I wanted to stop by. We've got some important personages here, so let me just call them out. We've got Senator Amy Klobuchar. Where's Amy? There she is. Our outstanding Labor Secretary, Tom Perez. The chair of the Equal Employment Opportunity Commission, Jenny Yang, is here. One of my favorites, the outstanding Billie Jean King, is in the house. And, of course, Lilly Ledbetter is here. You know, Lily's just become a dear friend to our family, and I can tell you that she's beloved not just by us, but by all the staff that work with her. She's just terrific. As she just mentioned, she was by my side when I signed my first bill into the law, the Lilly Ledbetter Pay Fair Act, Fair Pay Act, and I was looking at a picture of that wonderful event, and she looks the same. And I don't. But while we've got a lot to celebrate that day, we knew that our work wasn't done. We knew we had a lot more to do to close the pay gap between men and women and ensure that no woman would ever face the kind of discrimination that Lilly faced on the job. And everybody here knows the numbers, and many of you have experienced it. Today, women account for almost half of the workforce. But the typical woman who works full-time still earns 79 cents for every dollar that the typical man does. The gap's even wider for women of color. Typical black working woman makes only 60 cents. Typical Latino woman makes only 55 cents for every dollar a white man earns. And that's not right. We're talking about oftentimes folks doing the same job and being paid differently. And it means that women are not getting the fair shot that we believe every single American deserves. It doesn't just offend our values at a time when women are increasingly the breadwinners in our households. Paying them less makes it harder for families to cover the necessities like childcare or health care, just to pay the bills. Makes it harder for families to save, harder for families to retire. It means local businesses have customers with less money to spend. So it's not good for our communities, it's not good for our families, it's not good for our businesses. What kind of example does paying women less set for our sons and daughters? So today we're taking one more step in the right direction. We are proposing to collect and report pay data by race, ethnicity, and gender from businesses with 100 employees or more. And the goal is to help businesses that are trying to do the right thing, like the ones here today, to get a clear picture of how they can ensure their employees are being treated equally. A better picture of the data will also help us do a better job enforcing existing equal pay laws. Now, this won't solve every problem. We've still got to get more women and girls into high-paying fields like science and technology, engineering and math. We still got to make sure that women are not penalized or held back in the workplace simply for starting a family. Guys, we're responsible for the family thing, too. And they're already doing more work than we are in getting that thing going. They shouldn't be penalized twice or three times. We still need to raise the minimum wage. Guaranteed sick. Guaranteed paid sick and family leave. Fully protecting pregnant workers. Finally passing the Paycheck Fairness Act to give workers more tools to fight pay discrimination. And all of us have to make sure that all of our young girls know that we're invested in their success. And by the way, I do want to emphasize, there are businesses that are doing the right thing. Now, we got a good friend of ours, Mark Benioff, CEO of Salesforce.com, which is consistently shown as one of the companies people most like to work for. And part of the reason is that Mark understands that his company thrives when he is drawing from the entire pool of talent out there and making sure that everybody is having a chance to thrive and succeed at his company. And when people see that, they're working harder and more productive and more enthusiastic. And ultimately, they make more money. So this is not a either-or proposition. This is a win-win situation if we think about it in the right way. That's part of what Billie Jean taught us so many years ago. I mean, those of you who are tennis fans, let's face it, you know, a lot of times the women's tournaments are more interesting than the men's. And you know, the notion that somehow we would be keeping my daughters or Mark's daughters or any of your daughters out of opportunity, not allowing them to thrive in every field, not letting them fully participate in every human endeavor, that's counterproductive. That's not how we're going to build a great future for our country. So that's why this May, the White House Council on Women and Girls will lead a day focused on women in America and around the world, and we're going to bring people from all across the country to examine the progress that we've made and the work that remains to give every woman and girl in this country a fair shot at success. And we're going to keep pushing until every single girl has the rights and the opportunities and the freedom to go as far as her dreams will take her. This will be a long haul. You know, one of the things that I am consistently reminding young people when they're working here in the White House is that social change never happens overnight. It is a slog, and there are times where you just have to chip away and chip away, and then suddenly there may be some breakthroughs. But it's reliant on all of us to keep pushing that boulder up the hill, to just be steady and persistent and understand that the work that we do today is ultimately going to lead to a better future tomorrow. And we will not see necessarily all the fruits of that labor the same way that Lily described her endeavors. You know, when she lost that court case, she could have given up. But she didn't. And that spirit is what all of us have to adopt. That's the spirit that built America. That's the spirit that opened up opportunity for so many more people than a generation ago. And that's the spirit that I intend to keep pushing as long as I have the privilege to be in this office. All right? Thank you, everybody. Thank you.